Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges and chapter number 4. The book of Judges and chapter number 4. We are going through now the list of judges. We've already covered during our time here. We've covered the period of Joshua and seeing the great victorious life. We've now hit some of the early judges as we hit through Onethiel and Ehud, and then we saw the book of Ruth, which happens early in that judges period, and now we come to the third judge that we find in the book of Judges. Remember, the word judge is not someone who's sitting on a judicial bench making court cases, but a judge in the Bible is a military chieftain, someone who's used to win battles for the Lord's sake on the behalf of the children of Israel. And in the book of Judges, chapter number 3 or 4, the book of Judges, chapter number 3, and we're going to go a little bit into chapter 4, but Judges chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 31. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 31, the Bible says this: after him was Shamgar, the son of Anatha, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark here, if you don't mind, the third judge that we find, the man Shamgar. The man Shamgar. And with him, we're going to study his life and see about this third judge by the name of Shamgar. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great opportunity to open up your word and to learn and glean from your word. I'm asking that even though there's not much said about this judge, that we could still learn the principles and things that we see in his life. And Lord, I'm asking that again, you would just be with us in our service today, that you would draw people close to you, and that we would see our role and responsibility even in the midst of spiritual warfare. Lord, we love you so much. Fill me with your precious spirit, and that you get your word and will accomplished today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the man Shamgar, again, there's one verse here, and then he's mentioned a little bit later, but there's not much said about this judge here, not huge passages dedicated to him as in some of the other judges. But he was very important. He was used as a judge, a military chieftain, to deliver Israel. But there was a downside as well. And as we examine this man, Shamgar, the first thing I'd like you to see is when he flourished. When he flourished. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 31. It says, and after him. That him there is Ehud. Remember, Ehud was the man who slew Eglon and that he defeated the forces of Moab. And after him, there was a rest of 80 years. After Shamgar, or after Ehud had passed, after him, after that period of Ehud, then Shamgar, the son of Onath, rose up right after him. Now, not much is known about him. However, we do see some of the conditions that was there. Notice with me in chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now, this is the time where Shamgar existed, that we have Jabin, who's now the king of Canaan. And we'll speak more of him on Wednesday dealing with Deborah and Barak. But this is the time frame that Jabin has now overruled Israel. And it says that he mightily oppressed Israel. So this is the time when Shamgar comes to prominence, where he comes to existence, that we have, after Ehud, Jabin, who's now ruling the countryside. He's striking fear. He's oppressing all of the people. He's putting them under his thumb. He's putting them under the boot. He's mightily oppressing him. And it was in the midst of this here that God raised up Shamgar, that he raised him up in the midst of all of this oppression, right after Ehud, just as Jabin, by the way, is starting to rise to power. Now, Jabin is going to rule for 20 years, but Shamgar comes up right at the very beginning of Jabin's rule. And as he does, Jabin is in the background. He is conquering everything, which brings us to the second thing here: who he fought. Not only when he flourished, but who he fought. Notice with me in chapter 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines. Now, who is he fighting here? He's not fighting against Jabin and his forces. He's fighting against the Philistines. The Philistines are now mentioned in Scripture at this time. The Philistines came from the area of Phoenicia, which is north of Israel. The two major cities is Tyre and Sidon. And they are seafaring traders that have started to populate the Mediterranean Sea. Now, of these people, the Philistines have now come, and the Philistines are warriors who take the coast. They were not original Canaanites, meaning they didn't come from the land of Canaan. They actually came from somewhere else, conquered the coast, and now from the coast, they are starting to march all the way through the rest of Israel, and the Philistines are going to be a big thorn in the side from this time, all the way through David's time, Solomon's time. The Canaanites are going to be a very big deal. Now, this is early, so you can imagine in their mind the setting up. Israel has conquered the land. They have partially conquered it. They didn't do a good job, and Jabin is starting to consolidate his power, and he's starting to rule. Meanwhile, you have these aggressors, if you would put it this mind, maybe Vikings, who came over, conquered the coast, and now are settling down. And so it's still early. It's still time where they could defeat both of these foes before they get too big. And it is at this time, when these people are starting to gain power, that God raises up Shamgar, and he uses them to fight against the Philistines. Notice what he uses to fight. He uses the fight. It says, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now here we have an ox goad. You say, what in the world is an ox goad? An ox goad, if we were to put it in similar terms, is a cattle prod. Basically, it's a big, thick stick with at the very end, it has a huge metal point. Now, not like a dagger or anything, but it's enough that what you do is that when you're getting cows and stuff, and you're trying to get them to go the way they're supposed to, you would take this cattle prod, this ox goad, and the tip is enough that it pierces through that thick hide of a cow, and it lets them know you need to be moving, you need to go. And so you use it as a cattle prod. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So Shamgar's an old cowboy, basically. And he is his weapon, not a sword, not a slingshot, not a cannon, not a lightsaber, nothing. He has an ox goad. And with this ox goad, that is just a big stick with a pointy end, he defeats 600 Philistines. Now, we read things and we don't process. 600 is quite a bit. That's quite a few people, especially when you don't have a sword or a lightsaber or a gun. You're fighting them with a stick that has a small pointy end of it. You see, it was God that was doing it. I want you to think about a battle. Think about you being surrounded by 600 600 people. It's almost like in Black Friday shopping day, if you decided to be crazy and go wait outside the doors. And I mean, you can imagine a crowd of people around you that are ready to stomp through you because you're in the way and having to fight against them all. Now think about 600 people in your Shamgar. Now, battles are not nice and neat, meaning that they don't line up one at a time and say, all right, my turn, on guard. Oops, kill that guy. Next, next. Now imagine if you wouldn't mind if he did do that. Let's just say that it was a civilized thing, which it wasn't. And he fought against the Philistines one at a time in succession. Let's say that it took 2 minutes to defeat each foe and the next one. How long would that take? 2 minutes to 600 Philistines. That would be 1,200 minutes. If you were to calculate that, that would be about 20 hours. Could you imagine being in a fight for 20 hours? Some of us can't even do the treadmill for 30 minutes, much less in a fight, a physical fight. To fight 600 of them. Now, let's say that it was 1 minute. You'd cut it down in half, 10 hours. That's still a long fight. You understand the spiritual strength that God had to put into this man? Now, we know that it wasn't a nice contest. It wasn't one-on-one. Could you imagine the strength it would take to have 600 men jumping you at once and having to fight them off and to have the battle as it's moving and you're dodging and you have to keep aware of what's going on? Now, this wasn't a quick battle as an individual state, but that still takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of strength. It's more than just a regular person who's not trained. Even for a trained person, it would take it out of them. But this is someone that God supernaturally used to win the battle, to win the fight. Not with a sword, not with an axe, with a stick. You see, God is able to go above and beyond. That's what we see in the period of Judges. These aren't men or ladies who had power of themselves. It was God that won the battle. And remember in the spiritual warfare that we all engage in and that we're a part of if you're a Christian, the battle is not ours. The battle's the Lord's. He wants to use us as an instrument, but we have to let Him win the battles. And yes, that does include from time to time to allow ourselves to be used as instruments. But this was something that one man could not do by himself. This was something that God filled him. God strengthened him. God did it all. And let me tell you, this was a big ordeal. It was a big fight. Imagine if you were in a fight like that. Wouldn't you remember that for a while? And you would probably be in your mind, if you were normal, saying, I don't want to do that ever again. Which brings us to the third thing. Not only when he flourished, talking about the time that's on, and we have the Philistines bludgeoning, we have Jabin and the Canaanites coming up early before they start oppressing them. We see who he fought. He fought against the Philistines. But the third thing I want to show you is where he failed. Where he failed. And with that, turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter number 5. Judges, chapter number 5. Now, in Judges, chapter 5, we commonly call it the Song of Deborah. That what happens is that after Deborah and Barak, they win their fight against Sisera and the armies, and we'll talk about that Wednesday. They take a whole chapter and they're singing a song of praise, thanking the Lord for all the victories that he won. And in the midst of the song, it's a good folk song telling a story. It brings up Shamgar once again, and it brings up where he failed. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of Judges, chapter 5, and notice with me in verse number 6. Judges, chapter 5, and verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased, and they ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother of Israel, and they chose new gods. Then was a war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear among 40,000 in Israel? Now here it's talking about where Shamgar failed. Where did Shamgar fail? He failed because he won one battle and then he stopped. He won one battle and then he stopped. Do you understand? You don't win a war just by winning one battle. The thing about spiritual warfare is that it doesn't stop. And what happens is that we could be weary and well-doing. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, be not weary and well-doing, but in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. The word faint is a good Bible word that carries the idea of quit. It says don't quit. Don't quit. You know, what happens is that people get weary and well-doing. They get tired of doing well, so they stop. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of doing things. We see that with parents. You know, sometimes parents start raising their kids and they get tired of fighting with them. And so they said, fine, just go do your own thing then. You do whatever. And instead of fighting the battle, they allow the teenagers to go crazy because they as long as there's peace in my house, I'm just tired of the fight. We see that with kings. We see that in the book of in the Bible quite often where a king goes on and goes on and goes on. And then he says, I'm tired of fighting. I'm just going to take my hands off. And he lets the kingdom go down. We see that with pastors and we see that with churches. That what happens, they said, we get tired of the fight. We get tired of the fight. We're just going to let the world win. We have to understand that we can't win with just one battle. But we have to continue to stay in the fight. We have to stay on the firing line. Otherwise, the enemy gains more ground. Notice what it says in the book of Judges, how bad things got after Shamgar. Shamgar, praise the Lord, he beat 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Praise the Lord for that battle. But that battle wasn't enough to turn the tide. Notice again in verse number 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. And the travelers walk through byways. Here's the picture. This is how bad things were. Is that because of the oppression of Jabin. Because of the things the Philistines did. Because of children of Israel were no longer had the belly to fight. What happened is that when you go through the highway, they're empty. No one dared travel on the highway because they didn't want to run to Jabin. So what would happen is that instead of running through the troops, instead of going through, you would take the back roads. You go through the byways. What you would do is that you wouldn't stay on the highways at all, but you would walk through the forest on the side so you wouldn't be seen. Could you imagine a culture where the Israelites for 20 years were afraid to travel main roads? Because of the oppression they faced. Can you imagine for 20 years that if you wanted to travel from somewhere, even as like Green Bay to Seymour, you wouldn't dare travel on the highways, but you would go in the fields and the forest, and you would always be looking over your shoulders, that the highways were unoccupied. That's how bad things were. Because he stopped fighting. He stopped fighting, and guess what? All of this stuff crept in, and it was worse than what it was before. It doesn't stop there. Notice this. Verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. What happened is that because of the oppression, that people wouldn't live in the villages. They just kind of went and camped out in the woods and hiding out. For 20 years, it wasn't like they had a steady home, but they traveled and just kind of went here and hid until they were thought they were going to be exposed, and they traveled somewhere else and hid until something was going to happen, and they traveled somewhere else for 20 years. Can you imagine living in such fear and such oppression and living in a place where literally you are put underfoot? And it didn't have to happen. Shamgar won one victory and then he failed to continue in the fight. And it made it worse. It made it so the enemy regained the ground, and then they went and took more. You see, we can't allow the enemy to gain any ground whatsoever. We cannot allow the enemy to keep going forward. We cannot allow the enemy to take anything, because you may give an inch, but they'll take a mile. They will take the ground. As soon as you start that with your kids, by the way, you give them a little bit of ground, they'll take it. You start to lax on the rules just a little bit and they'll go past. You do the same thing with a church. You try to encourage them to keep soul winning and keep soul winning and keep soul winning. And then what happens is that we get tired of fighting. Let's take a 2-year break. and the 2 year turns to 3 to 4 to what now the church is no longer soul winning. You see, the thing with spiritual warfare, the thing with seeing victory is that you must be everlastingly at it. You say, but preacher, this doesn't sound encouraging at all. I want to remind you that it's not us. It's the Lord that gets the victories. God can continue to win. God can continue to take ground. What is wrong with a church that is continually taking ground? What is wrong with having a church that is seeing people saved time and time again? Not just 1 year or 2 years. Well, what happens when that church is in existence for 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years? Why can't a church be thriving and still seeking for souls and still seeing lives changed after 100 years of existence? What rule says we have to stop? You know what happens? People just get tired. Pastor, we've been at it for years. Don't you think we should stop? Don't you think we should be we take a break? No. Continue to advance. Continue to advance. Continue to advance. There's no place to stop. We got a whole world that is dying and going to hell. And Satan's already taken so much ground. We're going to have to believe on God to get victories in people's lives because of so much ground that has been taken by Satan. But we have to go everlastingly at it. You know, there's a difference between being weary in the work and being weary of the work. There's nothing wrong with being tired. We all need to rest. We all need to go up there. The problem is that when we get tired of the work. You see, it's one thing to start off and say, all right, we're starting a brand new thing. It's another thing to be consistent at it and keep it on when the newness wears off and the freshness wears off, to be consistent with what God has clearly given us to do. Instead of searching for some new thing, we just need to keep doing the same thing that God has given us to do. We have to be everlastingly at it. And that's a decision you need to make early. If you make the decision while you're tired, guess what? You're going to quit. You have to make the decision before you get tired. You have to make the decision that we're going to keep going no matter what, before the hard times come, before the oppression comes, before the resistance comes. You have to decide that as long as I have health and life and strength, I'm going to keep advancing forward. I'm going to keep advancing forward. Because if we don't, then the enemy takes ground. And when the enemy takes ground, it makes it so much harder to win back. It makes it so that way it's a whole lot worse than what it first started off with. We see Shamgar, and praise the Lord for the battle he won, that it was God that won the battle. But where he failed is that he stopped with that one battle and he didn't continue on. And because of that, the results were is that people didn't travel in the highways. They were too scared. That people didn't gather in villages. They were too scared. It made it so for 20 years, the oppression was so unreal. It was hard to describe. For our country, the same thing. We've given up so much ground. It's gotten to the place where it's almost unreal, the things that we've seen in our lifetime. What's the answer? We have to advance forward. We have to take ground. Now is not the time to play defense. Now is the time to get on the offense. Now is the time to expect the Lord to fight our battles for us. We just have to be obedient to what God has given us to do. So what will you do with a message like this? What I want you to do is I want you to make a decision that you're not going to quit. I want you to make a decision that we're going to keep going forward. Even when the quote unquote fun stops, when the newness wears off, that we're going to keep doing what we're supposed to do because this is right. We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing because God's going to keep winning victories. We're going to go keep doing what we're supposed to be doing because that's what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says, be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.